Hello there, welcome along. It's the Racing Post Weekend Postcast with Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose and Graham Rodway. We have just been handed the news that after a lengthy stewards inquiry, Friday's meeting at Royal Ascot goes ahead, which I think most people are quite surprised about because it has absolutely hammered it down with rain in the southeast from midnight onwards. It was very much touch and go. The Betfair Exchange, I think they were around about twos on that it wouldn't happen, but it is going ahead, which is good news. There will be tons of non-runners, and there will also be tons of non-runners on Saturday's card, which is what we are here to preview. So please do bear in mind that we are recording this before racing on Friday, and that there will be some non-runners. But at least Graham and Keith have had the chance to put a big red ring around those horses that have got proven form in mud, and presumably a big line through those that don't. We'll kick on with the 2:30 on Saturday, the first race of the final day of what's been a wonderful week. 7 furlongs is the trip, the Chesham Stakes. It's 6-4 Point Lonsdale, 4-1 New Science, 5-1 Masakela, 9-1 Reach for the Moon, 12-1 Bar. Graham, have you been focusing on your mudlarks?
I have. I had to fight through the floods this morning just to get into the office, but I'm here. And we're going to kick off with Masakela here. And this one will love the mud. He ploughed through soft conditions at Goodwood on his debut to win quite impressively in the end, a novice race. And Andrew Baldings obviously usually need their first run. So you can expect a good bit of improvement from Masakela from that run. And Baldings has obviously already been on the score sheet this week in a juvenile race. So his two-year-olds are in good form. So let's kick off with Masakela.
Thank you, G-Rod. Keith, are you down south? I was with you yesterday, but you're back up north now, are you?
I'm indeed. Dry day here. Sort of all the fuss of the boat.
Honestly, Keith, I promise you, it is absolutely mad down here. It has chucked it down so hard, it's crazy. Who are we going to go for on the opener, my friend?
It's the Chesham. You're having a little bit of a guess to an extent. I thought, at a bit of a price, I was very taken with the ground that Great Max made up late on at Newbury. He won over 6.5. A lot of the years have run in the very limited amount of 7 furlong races we've had for two-year-olds so far. Great Max, he ran over 6.5. And he absolutely picked up in the last furlong. Just devoured the ground in that last sort of half furlong or so at Newbury. I'm excited about seeing him going up and trip. I think the form of that Newbury run's pretty good. And yeah, I just thought at 12-1 or so that I can see at the moment, he was bigger than he should have been.
Okay, we move on to the 3:05, still over 7 furlongs. It's the Jersey Stakes. It's a Group 3 for three-year-olds. Creative Force is the fav at 5-1. As always, shop around for best prices and best each-way terms. It's 7-1. Mutasal Beck, 15-2 Khartoum, 8-1 Naval Crown, 11-1 Belosa, and 12-1 Bar. And Keith, who is going to win?
It's a very, very open race again, the Jersey. But the one that this is a bit more based on sort of soft ground stuff, we've got a light refrain here. The Queen's ostensible second string. She won at Nottingham in a listed race on a reappearance over 6, and then was fourth, but only beaten her last time, making up ground hand over fist at the finish. She's by Frankel. The damn light music was probably best at about 7 furlongs herself. But that Frankel influence just says to me that 7 furlongs, maybe even further, is going to be her trip. She's done very well to show what she has over 6 and at sprint trips. I think she's going to improve a bit more for going back up and tripping. I just thought 16 was a little bit big given the proven ground form she has and that latent stamina.
Okay, and Keith, you are one of the racing experts who puts little emphasis on the ground, but I guess in conditions like this, you have to give it a little bit more credence, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. At the extremes, you definitely give ground a lot of respect. You know, in that broad middle, you know, you're absolutely right. I think it's overplayed a lot of the time, or certainly there's good value to be had in putting it down your list of priorities. But yes, at extremes, it really does still come into it.
Okay. We are expecting, I think, a rain throughout the day and then a dry day tomorrow. So, we're not absolutely certain what the ground's going to be. It might actually be that kind of drying heavy, which they say is the worst type. So, are you braced for pretty slow conditions?
Yeah, I expect it. Yeah, it'll be really testing, won't it, Bruce? Without doubt, even with the rail movements and all sorts of other things they've done to get the racing on Friday, it's still going to be very hard work. I just still think that it might be worth taking a chance on a horse that is unproven on the conditions in this race, though. And that's because the doubt about the ground for me is factored into the price. And the horse is called Legion of Honour, who finished ninth in the 2000 Guineas last time out, behind Poetic Flair and Lucky Vega, who of course went on to finish first and second, I think it was, on Tuesday in the St James's Palace. So the form is rock solid. There's a couple of others in the race who also ran in that Guineas, notably Naval Crown and Muta Sarbeck. And those two are the two of the top three in the market. Yet Legion of Honour wasn't that far behind them, and he's 25 odd to one. And I don't really understand why he's such a big price. That was a solid run in a good Guineas. This is obviously easier, albeit, having said, it is a Group 3. You do pretty much need to be a Group 2 stroke Group 1 horse to win it. I think seven of the last 10 winners had competed in Group 1 races before winning this race. But Legion of Honour's half-sibling, Agent Zero, he acted on heavy ground, so that gives you some hope on the ground score. So a big price, Legion of Honour each way.
Rightio, 25 to 1, you can get Legion of Honour. Let's move on now to the 340, which is the Hardwick Stakes Group 2 over a mile and a half. Should be a cracker, this really, really good field. Plenty of runners and wide open. Broom is 4 to 1 favourite for Aidan O'Brien. And then we've got Wonderful Tonight at 5 to 1. Huckam at 11 to 2, 6 to 1. Ilarab, 10 to 1 Logician, 12 to 1 Alba Flora, 14 is Japan, 14 Sarom Priestley, 16 Tiger Moth, and 20 to 1 Bar. We'll start with you, G Rod.
Yeah, quite excited about this race, Bruce, because I think one of the bets of the whole week runs in the Hardwick. It's called Huckam. I think this horse is very, very good. Thought he looked very good when he won here last season over the course and distance on soft ground in the King George Stakes. He obviously went on to win tidily at Newbury in the Geoffrey Freer. Now, I'm not sure that he was at his best in the St. Ledger next time. Maybe he didn't fully see out the trip. Maybe the ground wasn't quite soft enough for him. He returned behind Wold Conig at Sandown, shaped as though he definitely needed the run over an adequate mile and a quarter. And then last time out was back to winning ways, again impressively on soft ground at Goodwood. He really loves testing ground, Huckam, so everything's come right for him. I'd have fancied him to win this on good ground, but with soft ground coming right in his favour, I think he is one of the best bets of the day, if not the whole meeting.
Splendid. Huckam, very confident from G-Rod. Do you share G-Rod's confidence for Huckam or indeed another horse, Keith?
Sort of do, yeah. And it is Huckam that I fancy. I mean, I was told the Hardwick was a great race when the decks came through yesterday. And I looked at it and thought, really, is this...
It's not great. It's interesting, isn't it? It's competitive and there's a lot of runners. Exactly. I mean, it's certainly not one of the best Hardwicks we've ever seen by any means. I mean, if you look at it, we had Crystal Ocean... Funny enough, actually, if you look down the last 10 years, it's not actually producing, you know, legendary winners by any means. But anyway, it's competitive.
That's my sort of thought process exactly. You know, I thought, oh, yeah, is it really that good? And then I sort of was reminded of that Basil Fawlty rant about the Torquay Hotel window. Would you expect to see? You know, it is a bunch of exposed, older, middle-distance horses. And that's why I think Huckam is such a strong one for me, because... This is all about whether he let me down for stamina in the Ledger. I was all over him for the Ledger. I don't think he stayed. It's whether, and this is going to be a really testing, stiff mile and a half. I think if he handles those conditions, I think he'll just win.
Excellent. The lads really fancy Huckam. Back in a moment with the 420.
Members Club is the ultimate resource for racing enthusiasts and punters, brought to you by The Racing Post. Get access to the Racing Post digital newspaper every day from 9 p.m, plus exclusive content including expert tips, analysis, form study tools, and more. Head to racingpost.com and click subscribe to find out more.
Welcome back, Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, and Graham Rodway. Looking ahead to Saturday's Ascot card. I certainly didn't oversell the next race. I said, welcome, mate. Coming up next is the 420. It is, of course, the Diamond Jubilee, a Group 1 at over 6 furlongs, and a very competitive race indeed. Dream of Dreams, 7-2. Nahar, the old pirate, 9-2. Starman out to 9-2. That one might not run, apparently, because, well, there'll be a lot that might not run because of ground conditions. Art Powers, 15-2, 8-1 Glenshield, 14-1 Sonela, and 18-1 Bar. It's a big field for the Diamond Jubilee. Doesn't look like it's absolutely crammed with superstars. Does that mean Dream of Dreams, second in the last two, might go one better, Keith?
I think it does. I think the price, obviously, is up there with Nahar and Starman in the betting. But he's done it time and time again under very similar conditions. You know, as you say, second in this twice. Finally got his group one last year at Haydock when, surprise, surprise, at Haydock in September, it was soft. He's just so much more solid than those other horses who, yes, they're unexposed, but I've not seen anything in those horses to suggest they're anything better than your average group one winner. And it's sort of priced in as though they are that good already. And I don't think they have necessarily proved it. So yeah, Dream of Dreams is, given these conditions, given the uncertainty over even others running, yeah, just a really solid one at the top of the betting.
What are your thoughts on this, G-Rod?
I fancy Glenshield, Bruce. Obviously, one of your most agonising moments of the whole year last year, wasn't it? Watching Glenshield just nose Brando out after you were on a massive odds. In the champion sprint on soft ground over the course and distance. The key to Glenshield is really testing conditions, which obviously he is going to have here. He was beaten favourite first time out in Group 2 at the Curragh, but I wouldn't be too worried about that. I'm absolutely certain that Archie Watson would have had half an eye on this race and they're using that as a prep run. So again, with conditions coming in his favour, Glenshield the one for me.
You sound very chipper, G-Rod. Have you had a good week so far?
It's been a fairly good week. I wouldn't say I'm doing as well as Paul Keighley, but on a general scale of 1 to 10, probably a 7.
And Keels is in the office like you, too. It must be an emotional reunion, isn't it?
It's lively in the office today, Bruce. It's the most lively I've seen it since the Cheltenham Festival, that's for sure.
What, three people in the cleaner?
Yeah, me, Dave Orton and Paul Keighley.
Oh, good. Excellent. I'm sure you'll have some fun this afternoon enjoying the racing. OK, so we've got Dream of Dreams for Keith and we've got Glenshield for G-Rod. Let's move on to the 5 o'clock now, which is the Wokingham, a 6-furlong sprint. As always, an absolute zillion runners. So many, it's taking time to load the prices. But here they are. We've got a very short favourite, Kings Lynn, who ran on Tuesday. He's only 4-1 for the Queen. 8-1 Pendleton. It's 10-1 Rohan, 11-1 Fresh, 12-1 Chief of Chiefs, 12-1 Chill Chill, 12-1 Desert Safari, 14's Punch Bowl Flyer, and then a gap out to 20-1 the rest. You good at the Wokingham, G-Rod? Is it one of your lucky races?
No, I don't think it is one of my lucky races. I always go into it feeling very, very confident that I've got the winner of the Wokingham. And then I see 30 horses jump out the stalls wide across the track and think, oh, what have I done here? I actually backed Kings Lynn in the King Stand on Tuesday, and I think he might have won with a clear run. He would certainly have gone very, very close. He finished seventh behind Oxted, but he was absolutely full of running, and he got no run right on the stand side rail. And Oxted just flew down the outside, and in the end, Oisin Murphy just had to accept that he'd lost the race through bad luck. He would definitely have been placed, no doubt about it. And that is obviously a Group 1 race. And this is a handicap, and he's running off a mark of 100. So whether if you think he would have won the King's Stand, which I think he might have done, then he could be absolutely thrown in off this mark. The problem, of course, is that that was 5 furlongs on really quick ground, and this is going to be 6 furlongs on very soft ground. And it is a completely different test for Kings Lynn to what he faced on Tuesday. And he's very, very short in the market. So I have to take him on. There's a couple that I like at big prices each way. One is Aberama Gold, who handles very soft ground well and ran a nice race last time out, I thought, at Epsom in a 6 furlong handicap at the Derby meeting. Again, making quite good headway in the middle of the race and only giving up a couple of places towards the finish. And the other one is Zargon for Scott Dixon. Jonathan Fisher's claiming £5 off this one. This one finished behind Kings Lynn last time out over 5 furlongs at Haydock, but his previous run at York on soft ground over 5 was very, very good when he almost made it. He just finished behind Pendleton, and I think 6 furlongs suits Zargon better. So the two for me are Zargon and Aberama Gold each way.
Thank you very much, G-Rod. Who for Keith?
The one I fancy is coming quite a bit in the last hour or two. I assume it's the soft ground thing. Punishable Flyer's record on testing ground is really good. He won last October at Newbury on heavy, and he's won his last couple on softer ground, albeit not as testing as it's going to be here. Basically made all against the rail at Haydock last time when Bielsa was... He just held Bielsa that day, didn't he? And Bielsa ran, was it yesterday, on Thursday, I think, and didn't quite stay seven. He's an in-form horse and gave a good idea of what was achieved with Punchbowl Flyer. Eve Johnson Houghton's having a bit of an Annus Mirabilis, and Punchbowl Flyer's following the yard in that regard. He's improving all the time, you know, four and progressive. He was a really sporting bet at 20s, and I'm still, you know, about 14s, quite keen to back him.
Thank you very much, chaps. The last two races are coming right up.
Be sure to watch Racing Post Live with Betfair for racing reaction, tips and discussion. Live every Saturday afternoon on the Racing Post YouTube channel.
Welcome back. It's Bruce Millington, Keith Melrose, and Graham Rodway even, on the Racing Post Weekend Postcast, looking into the last two races of what's been a terrific Royal Ascot. First up, the 5:35. It's a mile and two, the trip for the Golden Gates Stakes. It's a handicap for three-year-olds. God, we haven't got a short favourite in sight on Saturday. It's 5-1 the field here. That's Alpha Dell and King Frankel. Then it's 7-1 Fantastic Fox, 8-1 C-Set, 9-1 Baton Rouge and Visualization, 12-1 Fox's Tales, and 14-1 Bar. We'll start with you, Keith.
Yeah, I'm going to recommend holding your bets until the last minute a little bit on this one, because the one I fancy is Baton Rouge, but he has shown a tendency in his last few races to really sweat up. So don't be worried if he sweats up a little bit, because I think that's just him. But he could just boil over potentially and at Royal Ascot. So wait and see how he is in the preliminaries. But the form with Benno, who finished run quite well in Queen's Vase earlier this week, looks really good at Nace. And he has looked like a horse that is bound to be a little bit better than a handicapper. You look at what he's done in his career, and getting him in this of 96 is a bit of an achievement. I think he is better than that. And if he is ready to go, he has form on softer ground. And if he doesn't do himself in before the start, he's got a smashing chance. And 9-1's a big price.
Baton Rouge for Keith. Who for Graham?
Yeah, I fancy the one trained by Aidan O'Brien's son, which is Visualization. Joseph O'Brien trains. And I just think it's going to improve for a step-up in trip. One of his siblings won over 3 miles, yet Visualization was quick enough to win three of his last four races over 7 furlongs and a mile, the latest of which coming on heavy ground at the Curragh, which would probably be similar sort of conditions to what we're going to face here. So I think Visualization will run very well, but I'll also have an each-way bet on Pythagoras, and I like the way that this one made ground in the middle of the race in the Dante last time behind Hurricane Lane. And he had previously gone off quite a fast pace behind Verco in that Epsom Derby trial and did well, I thought, to hold on for fourth. So although he's got 4 and 6 by his name, he's a bit better than those form figures suggest, I suspect. And he's won on soft ground over a mile at Pontefract, so he'll go on condition. So it's Visualization for a win and an each-way bet on Pythagoras.
Smashing. And finally, the 6:10 at Ascot. 2 miles, 5.5 furlongs for the Queen Alexandra Stakes. As ever, this brings together flat trainers and jumps trainers. And as per the rest of the races, it is extraordinarily open. Falcon 8, who's a horse who's been in my tracker for absolute years and finally came good earlier this season, heads the market at 9-2. Dermot World trains Frankie Dettori, rides 5-1 Stratum next. Then we've got 6-1 Mirando, 15-2 Staghorn, Barbados is 8s, the Grand Vizier is 10s, Who Dares Wins is 14s, and it is 18-1 Bar. So let's see who the lads fancies. Can Who Dares Wins follow up his victory in the same race last year? We'll start with you, G-Rod.
Yeah, well, Keith and I handicapped the stayers for the Racing Post ratings, and we were having a discussion about this race earlier, and Keith was quite keen on Falcon 8, and I was keen on Stratum, and they were both towards the top of our ratings, and I thought it was going to be a like an England-Scotland battle, just like we're going to have tonight, Bruce, who was going to get on top, but Keith let me win, so he let me tip Stratum, so yeah, Stratum for me. Obviously, Roy Moore and Willie Mullins, they were very unlucky not to win that race earlier in the week with MC Muldoon. They also made an amazing amount of progress from the back of the field. And Ryan Moore and Willie Mullins, when they team up in these races, are absolutely amazing. I think they were 5-12 at Royal Ascot going into that race. So obviously, 5-13 following that. But I think the fact that Stratum is ridden by Moore, trained by Mullins, goes on soft ground, has obviously been laid out for the race. I'm hoping that it's going to be an England win with Stratum, even though I trained in Ireland.
Okay, thank you very much. G-Rod, Keith, what do you fancy?
Yeah, I was, when I first looked at the race, quite keen on Falcon 8, but it became obvious the more I looked into it that Stratum has definitely been laid out for this. And on top of that, there's nothing particularly wrong with his Longsdale Cup second to Enbahar last year. It's on that basis that he's been sent as the RPR's tip. And, you know, once you look at it, once you realise that it is solid, and you look at the way he's run this year, you know, he's won on his reappearance on soft ground, and then he's just had a run at Navan, and it's to really get him wound up for this sort of race. You strongly suspect Ascot's been the plan. He has got that form behind him. Yeah, I think Stratum is one you can definitely back, and I think he's the one that probably, I can see him going up quite a bigger price than Falcon 8. I can see him being popular, actually. So, yeah, stick with Stratum.
Okay, well, I'm looking out my window now and it is absolutely coming down in steroids. So I hope Ascot get through it. 8 o'clock Wembley tonight. G-Rod touched upon it earlier. England versus Scotland. We'll get a quick view from the lads. G-Rod, you're already putting your face paint on for this one, aren't you? Can you see beyond the three lions?
You know me, Bruce. I mean, whenever there's a big tournament, I'm one of these fellas who's always got the flag of St. George out the front of my house. You know, the face paints go on. I went to the barbers yesterday and was going to get the flag of St. George buzzed into my hair. I mean, I absolutely love it. I used to follow...
Please do that, G-Rod. Please.
Oh, it would be great. I used to follow England all over the world. You know, I'm like one of those home counties, you know, England fans who just love
Chelmsford,
England.
Yeah, Chelmsford Lions or something.
Yeah, absolutely.
Where's the most obscure place you followed England to?
I've been to probably Croatia would be the
it's hardly
the,
all over the world, is it? You're not exactly run off fines, are you?
No,
I was hoping for, you know, Guatemala or something.
We did actually have Kazakhstan in our group that year, but I didn't make it to Kazakhstan. That's always been one of the regrets for me. But to be honest, I think Scotland will give us a really good run for our money, Bruce. You know, they're always very passionate and they'll be right up for this game. But obviously, like all English people, I'll be praying that England can do the business.
Okay. And what about you, Keith? Will you be getting the Braveheart face paint on?
Well, I'm going to be watching it in a pub in West Yorkshire, so probably not advised.
I'd leave the sporran at home.
We'll leave the sporran. Well, you only wear the sporran with a kilt. I've never seen a sporran worn without a kilt.
A sporran is actually probably quite a practical accessory, isn't it? If you wanted to keep your money and your phone, and I could see people using it. It might catch on.
Got plenty of experience in wearing a sporran, genuinely. And
do you own a sporran?
I've got a whole kilt, yeah. Whole kilt get up.
Wow. Have you?
Yeah.
How often do you wear it?
Basically, you're wearing it tonight, Bruce.
it's basically weddings and all that sort of stuff. You get the kilt out. Yeah, it's basically what you're the equivalent of your suit down
and
here.
And do you wear pants under your kilt?
Yeah, you're supposed to.
You are supposed to. So yeah, that's a myth about not having
it
anything
is, yeah.
Underneath.
Okay. Etiquette decrees that if there are... The thing you're always told is etiquette decrees that you're meant to wear the undergarments as well. Yeah, it's not an old fallacy, that, I think.
Are you confident tonight?
Absolutely not. No, there's two ways it's going to go. It's either going to Scotland or going to hold out really well and just sit back and soak up the pressure, and that'll be at least tense. But I've actually backed... I think I see enough in the back for England and the chances we created on Monday to think we might sneak a goal, but I think England will score at least three in response. So I've backed 3-4, 5-1 and might add a couple more to that as well.
You pessimist.
Yeah, that's the bad way it's going to go. The sort of exciting way is if Scotland hold out for an hour or longer, and then I'll start getting excited. But I do think I think if the game opens up, I think we'll get a goal because we were sort of creating chances for fun against the Czech Republic, really. But I was so... I saw how England played against Croatia. I saw how we defended on Monday. I thought England could put loads past us.
Okay, right then. Before you go, chaps, let's get your Saturday naps.
This will not be beaten.
And we'll start with G-Rod.
Yeah, unsurprisingly, it's Hookham in the Hardwick's sake, 3:40 at Ascot.
Thank you very much. And Keith?
Mine's is Hookham as well. That'd be my nap of the day. If somebody wants to do a double, I would nominate Dream of Dreams as the next best.
Splendid. Thank you very much indeed for your input, gents. Maddie's back on Monday, picking the bones out of all the Royal Ascot action. And we're back next Friday for another Racing Postcast. We hope you can join us for those. Thanks very much indeed. Bet safely and good luck.